Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, good Friday afternoon as we take you into the weekend with the second to last Reardon Roundtable of the year. We'll be here next year, and then that'll be it until 2026. Hi, Sue Thomas. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you.
Good to see you. And Sue was off a little bit earlier this week, but she is back in the fold, and we're all together next week, which is good. We have an unusual roundtable today. Sue, would you like to be a big voice in the roundtable? Because Jane is sick, and I kind of knew she was going to be sick. She was on with us yesterday, and her voice sounded a little rough. There's this virus that's going around. My wife had it, too, where people get pretty congested, and I don't even think the antibiotics help. So, like, they didn't give Becky antibiotics. You kind of have to let it work its way through. So, we have just two people, but this is going to be a great intimate roundtable. State Rep Steve Butts is here.
Hey, you go, Steve.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
And Mark, doing great. I said I could do double duty. I'll get double pay.
That's
there a we go, boy.
Yeah. And you're kind of styling here with the scarf look, a little European scarf look this afternoon.
That's right. And like the MIZ beanie, too.
I know.
Brady Cook.
Oh, Nick Schroer is here, State Center. I'm glad you brought
finally,
that up. Brady Cook.
Here.
Yeah, well, we've been asking him for 3 months, and he can never do it. Brady Cook is going to start for the New York Jets. God, I hope he's still alive at the
awesome.
End of the game.
Hey, we're
going to
get some emos and sugar fire for the big win.
Look, I
love
it. I really like that kid. And, yeah. And, you know, I think if you look at this season, you can make a strong case that we would have had a couple more wins with Brady Cook. I think it's incredible that he gets this opportunity. And I hope that he, you know, gets more opportunities. But that's amazing. Now, on the other hand, the Jets are so bad, he might get killed. So we hope he's alive
pray
after
for him,
the
please.
Game.
Pray.
Unfortunate.
Well,
true,
let's start with football, though, here, because this is one of the most incredible and sad and tragic and crazy stories that we've seen not only in the sports world but on the planet here this year, and that's Sharon Moore, the former head coach of the University of Michigan. He took over the position when Jim Harbaugh left for the Chargers. I mean, he's making $6 million a year. He's on top of the world. He's got this great program, but then rumors started circulating over the summer about an affair with a staffer. The University of Michigan claims it did a 2-month investigation or something like that. They don't find anything out. But then on Wednesday morning, what happens is the young woman who he was having the affair with, and he's married, by the way, with 3 kids, goes to the administration at the University of Michigan, says, look, he's been stalking me. These text messages are here. I need help. They immediately fire him. He then goes to her house. And I'm going to play with the prosecutor. Sharon Moore was in a white jumpsuit on video. He was not in the courtroom. But the prosecutor in this case outlined some of the allegations for what happened the other day.
Eventually, she presented herself to the University of Michigan, cooperated in some form of investigation there As we all now know, defendant was at some point on Wednesday afternoon fired from his employment. He then, at some point soon thereafter, came to her apartment in the address that is alleged in the complaint, barged his way into that apartment, immediately then proceeded to a kitchen drawer, grabbed several butter knives and a pair of kitchen scissors, and began to threaten his own life. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to make you watch. My blood is on your hands. You ruined my life. And a series of very, very threatening, intimidating, terrifying, quite frankly, statements and behaviors there in that apartment.
So this goes on a little bit here. I'm going to play the last part here of the prosecutor.
It was only then, Your Honor, when the victim, she called her attorney and then at some point indicated she was going to call the police, and then he left. And so, Your Honor, while I understand that there isn't evidence to suggest that he directly threatened the victim with any of those implements that I've indicated, the totality of the behavior is highly threatening and highly intimidating.
So one of the distinctions, and I think she kind of made it right there, that I'll share with you, is that there were initial reports that he had threatened her and that he had held a knife to her throat. It does not seem to be indicated with the charging documents and with what they said in court that that happened. But I think the prosecutor is saying, look, in totality, this is pretty serious. So the judge did lay down some conditions for Sharone Moore, and here are the directives.
Mr. Moore, could you state your name, please?
Sharone Moore.
Sir, you are not to use alcohol, marijuana, or any other controlled substance that is not prescribed to you. You are not to possess or purchase a firearm or any other dangerous weapon.
All right, so the list goes on and on, and he does post bond. He will have a monitor on him, but they had some back and forth here with how this is going to all go down, and he is out of jail this afternoon. I mean, I don't even know how to start talking about this because it's so crazy, Steve. Here's a guy on the top of the world in college football with one of the premier programs in college football history, and he just throws his life away, and which is, I guess, why he gets desperate and starts threatening to kill himself, because he realizes that his life as he knew it is over.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of college football, you know who Coach Moore is. When you heard of the firing, I just presumed, okay, he was having an affair with somebody, you know, an underling on staff or at the university. Okay, that happens. But then when all this came out just in the past really few hours, I listened to that same piece that you had there. Exactly. Just that the fact he didn't threaten the woman directly, it is still an unbelievable level of domestic violence. This is crazy stuff that, you know, hits close to home for a lot of people. But this guy, I mean, he needs a lot of help. He needs it right away.
Yeah.
But to say that, to fall that fast, this hard, is beyond belief. And I hope for the sake of his family and his own stability, he does get the help he needs. But this is a heartbreaking story.
Nick, one of the things that has also come out is that, you know, I think that this was somewhat of a known rumor entity on campus and around. There were people that are saying, look, some of this stuff has been out there and we don't know all the specifics. But it's interesting because, you know, obviously something went awry in the relationship. And then if he starts into this stalking or he's trying to get, it seems like she might have said, no, enough is enough. And then he didn't want that. So you get to this level of, I don't know what happens with people, because I think that he can't get away from her. And then he starts threatening her when he realizes he's going to get fired. This has so many things, including the administration at the University of Michigan, which I'd be shocked if that guy, the AD, made it through today without being fired.
Yeah, somebody's got to know. Somebody has to know, with it rising to this level, the mental health issues that are obvious. I can see them. And I used to deal with cases like this on a day-to-day basis when I was dealing with family law and criminal law. And you hate to see how it impacts everybody. The poor kids, his kids that are seeing this now.
I know. That's...
And who knows if she has kids, but now her life is going to forever be connected to this. But the fact that you're making that much money on the top of the world, and for whatever reason, you can't say no, you can't stop. And it leads to breaking into her house. Obviously, there's either substance abuse, mental health issues, but now it's forever out there. So, praying that he gets the help that he needs. But this is a wake-up call to anybody. Look, if you see that somebody is that violent, like in the state of Missouri, we have avenues. Steve and I may have different bills, but I think we have the same goal of wanting to make sure if there are people out there that are a threat, we need to give them the help that they truly need and actually get these people away from the victims.
There was some report, you know, a lot of the reporting is a little, you know, scattered right now, but there were indications from people on campus that this had been building in his personality to the extent that he was berating people. The behavior was not as normal.
Well, that's what I was worried about, too, is you know, what is he doing to the kids? Because you hear about all of these different scenarios, you know, the Penn State and the issues surrounding the coach and their treatment to the students. If he's that violent with Scorn Lover or whoever it may be, what is he doing on campus to critics or to his own students and staff?
Well, that's a legitimate question. I don't know. I mean, I think that the University of Michigan has a lot of questions to answer, because if there was an attempt to cover this up, I mean, I've had people say, look, he beats Ohio State. This thing never comes out. Who knows about that, right? Wow. There's going to be conspiracy theories. But if the administration knew about this and they were trying to hide it or thought it wouldn't come out, well, then that's a whole other ballgame in and of itself. And I'm glad that you mentioned the woman, because that young woman, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to have to go into hiding, essentially.
Well, she's going to need
because
help
of this. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
For sure.
We'll take a break. It's the Reardon Roundtable. We're going to talk about what you were referring to. You guys do have kind of competing bills on red flag laws. So
I've got the good one.
Let's get, let's get into that
law,
coming
okay.
up. All right, so Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. All the kind of fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour. Paul Hall in entertainment. Sue's News, of course. Frank Cusimano with a look at the weekend in sports. Jane is off today. She fell ill. I kind of knew this was going to happen after she was on with me last night. The voice sounded a little rough. State Senator Nick Schroer is here, and State Representative Steve Butts, who's running for a Senate seat, is with us this afternoon. So let's, because we were talking about mental health and we were talking about, you know, threatening situations with the coach of Michigan, you guys do have some different positions on a red flag bill for the next legislative session. Steve, I'll let you start here because you and I have talked about this before. I do understand the need for something that could potentially, you know, give law enforcement and families the ability to make sure that people who potentially could be in dangerous situations with weapons would not be in that situation. On the other hand, I think even with you, when we've had these discussions, I've expressed concern because I'd even use myself as an example, as you know, with mental health issues and being hopped up on some anti-anxiety medications. Would someone like me fall through and that person be, you know, at risk of not being able to buy a weapon because I'm on anti-anxiety meds? So your position is, and your bill would do what?
This bill is narrowly defined to address, I think, at least one piece of this puzzle that is important. So we're just going to go over exactly what happened quickly at the shooting at the high school in St. Louis City. So many people remember that the young man clearly was troubled. His own mother in the house where he lived knew he was having mental health crisis, knew and discovered that she did not know about, but she discovered that he had an assault-style weapon in the home. She wanted it out of her own home for his sake, her sake. She did call the police. We know as the story goes. The police were not able to confiscate the weapon for any real length of time. So my goal with narrowly defining my bill is, and I don't even like to use the word red flag, because that's a red flag for people that say, no, we're not going to do anything that addresses guns, firearms in a home, and mental health. In this case, it's what you just said there, Mark. So it has to be someone who is a resident member of your household that makes the call. That's where it starts. So if someone's wife, your adult child, your brother that lives with you, whatever, you know that this person is in trouble, you know they have a weapon, you want it out of the house for 120 days with a court order, the police can confiscate the weapon. At the end of 120 days, you can apply to get the weapon back. The idea is just a timeout to get immediate emergency help. Does it solve everything? No. Would it have prevented the shooting? Maybe not. Would it have delayed that shooting and there might have been an intervention? Absolutely yes.
Mark, as the legislator, can I ask two questions? One, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but what is an assault-style rifle? Number two, the bigger question is there a takings before due process? Is there a takings before that court order? Because currently in the state of Missouri, and I've been on these cases where you present the order of protection and you go before the court, The other side has been served. They've had a chance to go before the court, had a hearing on the merits, and then the court in the state of Missouri today can confiscate those guns, can confiscate somebody's guns during the pendency of the order of protection. So we've seen red flag bills in the past. Tracy McCreary, when we were in the House, we worked. I was on the opposite side. We came up with a conclusion. It didn't go anywhere, and it was just strengthening the law that we currently have, which solidifies due process rights.
All right. Well, the first part, we said, what's an assault-style weapon? I'm like...
Because they all are.
In this case, you know, with the pistol grip, the larger magazine, that type thing, AR-15 style, it doesn't matter. That's what the weapon that was involved in this specific shooting was. My bill doesn't say that at all. It says a firearm. Any firearm. From a 12-gauge shotgun.
And is it just limited to firearms? Because we've seen even in England right now,
limited,
all of the stabbings, the rapings that are
occurring.
It is
just limited to firearms.
But how does it, to his point, how does it get adjudicated from a due process perspective? I mean, who's making the calls on
that?
That's where it gets complicated.
Allegation and then taking? Or is there an allegation, they get served, after the hearing, then there's the takings?
I'm attempting it to be the first of those, that there is the allegation, the request from the mother, the resident member in your household. They take the weapon right then and there. They can at least hold it for 120 days. The family member has to go to court then to get the ex parte ruling for the order of protection. My point is that if it is in your own home, this is a way to get a weapon legally out of your own home that you don't want there. That's the whole point.
And what's stopping those parents? Two things. What's stopping them from asserting their property rights of saying, no, you're not going to have this, whether it's drugs, a dog, a gun, a knife, pornography, they can get that out of the house. And I understand.
Obviously not. In this case, obviously
well, and
not.
I think that boils down to parents need a parent. And parents
yeah,
have gone soft.
No
and
way.
I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but I've dealt with many cases where you go through the juvenile court and parents just won't parent. And the kid keeps coming back in. That's why I've got a juvenile bill dealing with that. The catch and release, you know, sending them back to parents that are just allowing this stuff to happen. But number two, why couldn't they have, if they knew that he was a threat either to himself or somebody else, you could have had him put into a mental institution for at least a certain period of time.
Not that easy, Nick. I don't know if you've tried to have somebody get immediate psychiatric help. There is no place to go. Like, if you needed to get somebody in a facility tonight, it's not going to happen.
If there's an immediate threat.
Because we're not funding that level of service.
This is all very complicated.
That's
and
why
I get
my
that.
Bill is as simple as could be.
Well,
get the weapon out of the house for a short amount of time, period.
You guys
and that's
you
where
come
I
right
think
back.
That's where the issue is, because we have the due process requirements within the Constitution, United States and the Missouri Constitution. And I think if we strengthen the mechanisms that we have currently in law that honor due process rights, and even, like you said, funding mental health, that's something that the former governor line item vetoed out of one of his last budgets was money going to mental health institutions.
We can agree on that.
You guys are going to have ample time to debate this as we get into the legislative session. I think it's a worthy debate. I think both you both have perspectives on that, so I look forward to that. Let's talk about something far more fun, and that's two state lawmakers throwing punches at one another, because this is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. And if you haven't seen the video, you are disadvantaged this afternoon. Sue, have you seen this video yet?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is new video. Joe Holloman wrote about this in the Post-Dispatch. The incident that I'm going to talk about actually happened in September, but they hadn't had the video until now. So the way that the story is described in our local paper is one night in late September, a fight broke out between two St. Louis County politicians, with both women grappling, pulling hair, and swinging haymaker punches before being separated by onlookers. Joe did a very good job there describing what happened. So this is St. Louis County Councilwoman Shalonda Webb and State Senator Angela Walton Mosley, both Democrats, right? This was September 25th after a town hall meeting at the Bellefontaine Neighbors Community Center. It lasted for about 40 seconds. So Rochelle Walton Gray, Mosley's sister and former county councilman, was also involved. And what you see here is the two women kind of, Nick, I showed this to you. Steve, have you seen it yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
So they're going at one another a little bit. It starts to get a little close, right? And then it looks like Mosley pushed Shalonda Webb into the chest, and then all hell broke loose at that point, right? I mean, that's essentially what happens. They have video that comes from four cameras installed in the auditorium. There's no audio transmission. So the way that this is described in the post is the footage shows verbal exchanges between Webb and the two sisters stop and start several times, then comes to a head as Webb tries to leave the auditorium. And I mean, it's face-to-face, nose-to-nose, and then
there's the glasses came off, too.
Yeah,
the glasses and the purse.
Right. So Jane sent me I want you to hear this, because even though she can't be here today, she did send me the statement from Shalonda Webb. Here,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Here's what she said. Yes, I've seen the video. It clearly shows what occurred after the Bellefontaine town hall concluded. After the event ended, Senator Mosley and former Councilwoman Rochelle Walton Gray, who were sisters, remained at the location while I attempted to leave. Despite my clear and repeated statements that I did not wish to engage with Senator Mosley, I was repeatedly asked to meet with her. They were accompanied by Precious Jones, who also asked me multiple times to meet with Senator Mosley after I'd stated I did not want to do so. The video shows that the tension stemmed from their expressed frustration over Senator Mosley not being invited to the town hall and from lingering resentment related to Ms. Walton Gray's loss of her county council seat to me 5 years ago. All right, a lot of things to frame this around. The video further shows that Senator Mosley removing her glasses immediately before advancing toward me and initiating the physical contact. Based on what I saw, that's true.
Yep.
She struck me in the neck. I was forced to defend myself when Ms. Walton Gray entered the altercation to outnumber me. The situation escalated further. Now, she goes on here a little bit, but what she says is, I've never been involved in a physical altercation in my entire life. I'm deeply disturbed and embarrassed that I was placed in a position where I forced to physically defend myself in order to ensure my own safety. Here's what I would say to Shalonda Webb. Man, you should get in more fights, because I give you the victory. You threw the haymakers. You
they were landing,
won that
too.
Fight. Yeah, they were landing. So if this was being scored by, like, all of us in the room,
oh, yeah,
I think it would be, you know, unanimous decision here on who won. But this is just, you know, it's fun to talk about and to watch and to make fun of, but good Lord, it's just disgusting that something like this has to happen. And, you know, one of the things that Jane said, and you guys can offer opinions on this, is that Angela should be sanctioned by the Senate for something like this. You don't do this to an elected official. First of all, you don't do this to anyone. Is that something that's on the table, or should be even on the table, Nick, or is this kind of separate from the Senate business?
But when I was in the House, I remember a Democrat senator who publicly said on social media something to the effect of Donald Trump should die or somebody should take him
Maria
out.
Maria Chappelle Nadal.
And she was censured, removed from all committees.
Because she's insane.
And I don't know if this is going to rise to that. I do know some of my colleagues who I get along with, and Senator Mosley, even though we disagree on probably 95% of policy, I like her. And we get along. She's a straight shooter to me. If she's going to try to filibuster my bill, she at least tells me. And that's something that Republicans who oppose my bills can't even do. But I will say it is unbecoming of the senators and elected officials, but this is something that goes back to the founding of our nation with dueling and fighting and scrapping. So it's sad that now on social media you're seeing this. And yes, it is fun to look at. I've never seen Angela Mosley move that fast in my life. But I will say it's something that kind of goes in line with politics. It shouldn't, but it's been something with politics for a long time.
Steve, what do you think here?
Okay, so, you know, I know both ladies pretty well, actually, and When you see the video, the story came out exactly as Hollerman described it, but I just know that once again, St. Louis makes national news for looking stupid, acting stupid. I'd say in either one of their cases, this whole thing about you didn't invite me to the town hall, I'm like, so what?
Sophomore.
Then don't
That's
go.
Right.
Don't go and have your own town hall. Then when the altercation is getting hot, anybody could have just walked away. Just walk away. But no, that isn't
what happened.
I will
say, with Shalonda, once you put hands on somebody else, that is a different level. And
not to say that
she's justified in doing that.
Even on the first touch, I would have walked away. I don't know.
I was looking for a takedown.
I'm tired of us being the laughing stock of America.
Well, has it gone viral? It probably will.
I can see it. I just watched it.
Yeah.
It's
on YouTube.
Well, it's behind the paywall. It's behind the paywall on STL Today.
Yeah, but there have to
get it off of there.
I'm watching it on Google.
Right. So people are tweeting it out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was kind of cornered. I mean, walking away would be difficult. They had her against
Shalonda?
The wall. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if you watch the angles.
Then
I can't wait for the AI to, you know, have the bell ding in and let's get ready to rumble. I think those videos.
Somebody's already done that, probably. It's amazing what you can do. Sue had a little fun with AI this week. We posted that on the X, formerly Twitter. Hang on. These two guys not throwing haymakers yet in the studio, but there's still time. We're coming back with more of the Reardon Roundtable. Here, let me play a little different music here, because Nick provided me with a soundtrack for his challenge to Steve here this afternoon. There's a video, and it's just a video, so I can't really, you know, put it on the radio, but this is the music. Would you like to describe the belt that you brought into the studio
this
afternoon,
Senator?
We've
got, for all those watching on the live stream, the brand new Missouri Freedom Caucus Freedom Fighter Award that every week once session starts, we can award it. If Steve Butts wants to file the anti-red flag bill, he can win it. Senator Mosley could win the Freedom Fighter bill. You can win the Freedom Fighter bill.
So how do I take control of that belt? Because I want it. Steve, do you want it? How badly do you want it?
Yeah, I don't really want it. Bling is not my thing. I mean, I'm just going to stand for freedom.
Hey, pursuant to Senate rules, remember when Mike Moon went on the Senate floor with overalls?
Yeah, I do.
Well, they said you can't do that, but there's nothing saying you can't wear a belt.
It's
actually
belt.
Says you have to wear a belt. But this is going to be something that the Freedom Caucus, now under me being the chairman, we're going to focus on what's going on in politics, not just in the building, but outside of the building as well. And we're going to have several nominees each week on who is fighting for freedom, who's fighting to limit government, to restore the rights back to the people, pursuant to what our founders were looking for.
It's my goal in 2026 to win that belt.
Well, then I'll start the
Common
Sense Caucus, and we'll give an award to everybody that is doing the most to improve actual lives of real Missouri.
But it's not going to be as cool a belt. It's not going to be as cool a belt. That's what I'll tell you.
Yeah, and it's metal. Look at that.
Hey, are you guys able, Steve, I don't know if you have anything available because you're also an employer. You have an insurance company that you run here in St. Louis. Can you hire the police chief for some part-time work on the side so he can make an extra $100,000 a year? Because I'm worried about Chief Tracy. His new contract sets his salary as $183 a year. He was making $175. Of course, he's gotten this extra $100,000 a year from the St. Louis Police Foundation for the last 3 years, and that money has dried up. So he now says he's exploring other avenues to make up the difference. Can he work at Butts, Crawford Butts Insurance? Just a legit question.
No, I guess technically he could. Let's going right back to what I said about, does St. Louis have to embarrass themselves again and again? Now we have, and I'm glad they re-signed Chief Tracy. I think some continuity. This changing whoever is running these large organizations every 3 to 4 years, whether you're a school district or a police department, I don't care. You got to have continuity at any organization. I've got no beef there. The salary thing, when Chief Tracy first came 3-4 years ago when they were doing the interviewing, they could not get people to apply at the $175,000 number. The Police Foundation sweetens the deal with an extra $100,000 for reasons I don't understand. I'm like, if it takes $275 to hire the right person,
then pay that.
To make the city safe.
That.
Right, right.
And for sure, pay that. But then to say the chief of police of a major department might have to moonlight to make some extra money. I'm like, we are just an embarrassment to ourselves. If it takes $275, if that's the right amount for an executive at this level and he's doing a good job, that's what it needs to be. When people say, well, there's pay parity, then you would have to pay the fire chief an extra $100,000. I'm like, so what? Maybe we do. And I think that's a message that people have to understand. If you want good government and you want the right people, you have to be able to compete with the private sector and you have to pay these people appropriately.
Yeah, I think that's right. Now, what I'm hearing is that he's going to get some sort of adjunct professor thing or something along those lines. He's not going to be working at the McDonald's.
Yeah,
okay,
he's not going to be directing traffic outside of Busch Stadium at a Cardinals
game.
Okay,
but look, even that's problematic for me because, to your point, he should be focusing on one mission and one role every day, talking about crime in St. Louis and addressing that. So I'm with you. I mean, you're telling me that with all the money out there, you can't cut another $100,000. I don't care if he's the guy. I still have questions about him. I really do. But pay him what is on par with whatever chiefs make in cities this size. And that's probably what you need to do. But they don't want to do that, right?
Clearly, that's not what we want to do. The reason why I was told, and I said it can't be that simplistic, is because of Chief Jenkerson getting a $100,000 a year raise. I'm like, that's outrageous. Mm. Let them both get a $100,000 a year raise. Let's make this city safer and have good leadership at the top.
So, wait, Jenkerson got a $100,000 raise?
No.
Oh, wait, what?
If, with this pay parity thing, raise the chief of police to $275,
well, and, then you'd have to be, right, I guess.
Now, is this the norm in other big cities that they can have other jobs or be adjunct professors? Because this is the first I've ever heard about it, and to your point, it's a little embarrassing to put St. Louis on the map, who's usually number two when it comes to most violent, most deadly cities in America per capita. I don't see this as the norm in other big cities, that the chief of police was such a big job to do, an important job to do, is getting us back on the right track, making our city safer. Maybe that's what Steve Butts is going to do when he's in the Senate. But it's a little discouraging that we're allowing this to happen when there's still a lot of issues that he has to resolve.
It's more than discouraging, especially because I'm going to offer you a real-life example that you guys probably saw. You had a situation from last week where there was a woman that literally had someone threatening her with a gun and called 911, and the cops didn't show up for two hours.
Yeah.
So that's unacceptable. And this should be one of the top priorities. I mean, Kara Spencer and the chief should be out there saying, this is our goal for 2026 to make sure that things like this do not happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It was... I'm sure the delay, and I did watch the spokesman kind of explaining it. At the end of the day, you're like, we don't have enough officers to send them out quickly. I don't care that they said, well, we prioritize the 911 calls. And the first one was, there just seems to be a domestic disturbance. No knowledge
because
about
a neighbor
gun.
Called.
Exactly. I'm right. like, I don't care if it's a domestic disturbance. We all know a lot of violence happens in domestic disturbances.
Well, you had an example of that and from the University of Michigan.
Just yelling and screaming with possible punches being thrown, 2 hours even for a cop to come to
well,
that.
Well, the silver lining
crazy.
Here, even though I agree with everything that you're saying, the silver lining is police actually went and not social workers.
Social workers.
That no, the previous mayor wanted to send.
So we need both, but I'm just saying it points to yet another example of we need more officers and they've got to respond more quickly. And I don't have an answer yet from either the chief or even the new police board, but this we say we never comment on how many officers we have on duty. It's in this interview again for the safety of our officers. I'm like,
we've been commenting on that for years.
I don't get that. I think they should be able to tell us how many cops were available to respond to a call. It happened in Sue and my neighborhood, you know, this past summer. You can say whatever you want.
These are basic questions. They should be transparent. People, taxpayers have a right to know this
and
stuff.
And I got a feeling that the number is going to be like five or something for the city, and we're going to be freaked out at how low the number is of officers that can quickly respond to a call.
One thing I know, if Jane were here, she would be all over this, obviously. She represents the police. She's sick today, by the way. That's why she's not here. State Rep Steve Butts and State Senator Nick Schroer are here. What is your opinion? There's so many weird, crazy stories politically. There usually are. But you have the chief of staff for the wacky St. Louis Board of Aldermanic President Megan Green agreeing to $46,000 in fines from the state ethics department. Christine Ingracia has to pay back, good luck, $45,964, $300 a month. This all goes back to 2024. She's now the director of operations for Megan Green. Hmm. And look, I mentioned this. I've got a friend, Steve, who we're not real close anymore, but we used to be. Jeff Polinsky is his name. He was a board of aldermen member in the city of Milwaukee. And he went through divorce. And, you know, we were friends at the time, tough financial times. And he used some of his campaign money to pay his bills, right? Well, he went to federal prison for almost 2 years.
Yeah, that's called stealing.
Right. So, like, in this particular situation, how do you justify all of this behavior? Not only the fact that she barely has to pay the money back and that she's still the chief of staff for the Board of Aldermanic President. That seems rather unacceptable as well.
You know, I love this city, but now this is going to be our third example in this hour of we look beyond stupid and incapable of running a city. This story is beyond outrageous. So let's start with, if Sue, Mark, Nick, or I stole a bunch of money from our employer, which is basically what this is, campaign money. These are the citizens that say, no, I'm contributing so you can run for office. I steal it. I lie about what I'm spending it on, but everything's okay with that. And then when you're caught, you have this 20.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
A year or whatever payback amount at $300
a month. Pretty sweet deal.
I'm like, are you kidding
me? How about $600 a month? All right.
How about pay all the money back?
Yes.
Whatever you're making, half of everything you make.
Is there a garnishment? Is there any settlement?
That's what this is. This is like a settlement. It's like a garnishment.
Is the $300 going to be automatically withdrawn?
I don't know. She's not even going to be an employee for as long as this $300 bucks goes.
Right.
And the Missouri Ethics Commission has no teeth to really enforce this kind of stuff.
That's why I wonder why the U.S. Attorney's not involved here, really.
That's what I was going to ask. Who made the decision? Okay, yeah.
The Ethics Commission?
The Ethics Commission.
This is their settlement. We could tell you the Ethics Commission, we need them, but they have no teeth. I've had this bill, maybe Nick will have all his influence and just get a hearing on.
We'll award you this belt after we pass it.
We fill out a quarterly, everybody that's running, you fill out a quarterly statement, you know, who gave you money, what did you spend money on,
right?
But there's no, you just say, I swear this is true. Worse yet, you can be your own treasurer. So you sign for the treasurer and yourself the way Kim Gardner used to do this. She was her own treasurer. I want to say once a year, once a quarter, you have to include a redacted bank statement from your account.
That's a good idea.
Showing what's in there.
Yes.
Yeah, that we're not getting to first base yet. I'm looking at Nick.
Well,
that's a freedom thing.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I think transparency in government, especially Kim Gardner's back in the news. You've got all of the. That's the fourth instance. There you go.
Yeah, yes. Well, right.
And I'm still waiting to see which one's a Republican. None of them.
Oh.
A little fighting words. But this is embarrassing that this continues to happen as guys like Steve are trying to get the city back on the right path and put us in the spotlight, competing with Nashville, Tennessee, and all of the other cities that are doing it right, saturating the streets with police. We still have a lot of problems. Now, I will say, help is on the way. We passed a couple good bills this year. I think bipartisan bills dealing with crime, dealing with recruitment, dealing with retention, but it's going to take some time. It's absolutely going to take a couple years, but we need to get the show on the road.
Hang tight. One more segment of the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday coming up. All right, it's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. Sue is going to do Sue's news in the next hour. Jane is not here today. She was under the weather. I could hear it in her voice when I had her on the show last night, so we wish her well. State Rep Steve Butts is here and State Senator Nick Schroer. One thing just before I move on to a couple other national issues is one of the other things that happened, Steve, and I figured you'd have an opinion on this, is that they kind of called off the search for the next superintendent for St. Louis Public Schools. And, you know, there's a part of me that's like, I think somebody said, do we need to spend $150,000 on a consultant to find this next person? You've been tracking that whole debacle with St. Louis Public Schools now for a couple of years. Any thoughts on that?
I have. I'm glad they did not pay $150,000 or $175,000 for another search. We just paid that couple of years ago, and you look what we got from the end of that search.
Not a lot of ROI.
That, yeah, correct. She was from Seattle, and I've got family in Seattle, and they're like, you know, our worst nightmare just got hired at your school district. And I'm like,
you
think somebody would have just gotten on a Southwest flight and interviewed some teachers in Seattle? Since we're not going to do that, the woman who is the interim one right now has been with the district for 20 years, doing a job, knows her way around. I'm like, again, let's get some normalcy, some stability, and save the $175,000 because we need that to pay the $750,000 that we're paying to the lady that we fired.
Yeah, oh, let me do a speed round here, Nick, and I'll start with you on this one. On this Somali fraud in Minnesota, CBS News, with Barry Weiss at the helm, is reporting a lot of interesting things today. Luxury cars, private villas, overseas wire transfers. They've obtained dozens of files and photos that reveal how the fraudsters in Minnesota blew through billions of dollars in taxpayer money as one of the biggest COVID-era fraud schemes. There was a confirmation email for an overwater villa with a private pool at the Radisson in the, is it the Maldives or the Maldives? Is it the Maldives?
I've heard both.
Ooh, right? I don't know.
I'd say both ways. Lakefront property in Minnesota. Receipts showing wire transfers to China in East Africa. First class tickets to Istanbul and Amsterdam. A 2021 Porsche Macan. Stacks of cash texted between defendants. I mean, all of these things, and I guess there was a sentencing of one of the defendants here who is a 24-year-old. The judge admonished him, saying where others saw crisis and rushed to help, you saw money and rushed to steal. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison and, Steve, ordered to pay nearly $48 million in restitution.
Wow.
You know we're going to get all that back.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
That $48 million, that check's in the mail.
That, I mean, still an undercovered story. That's been bubbling up there in Minnesota for a while. I have covered it with some of my folks up there, like Dave Strom, who's with Hot Air. We have a couple other folks, even Michelle Tafoya, who's a regular contributor. But that is a mind-blowing story. I was told on good authority early in the year that there's no fraud and abuse that's involved in any government spending.
Well, this is more reason why. Look, I think it's the federal government continues to fail all their audits. What is it? The Department of, I don't know, one of them up there. And then you've got this fraud here. You've got the fraud happening in St. Louis. Always fraud happening in Illinois. What concerns me, this Medicaid fraud that's happening in this state with, you know, connections with Tim Walz. Why don't we start looking at the election fraud or allegations thereof? I think every single state, like we were talking about earlier, a bipartisan effort to make government more transparent should be occurring. So crap like this doesn't happen. Billions of dollars going out the window. This is just one state. We need to start focusing in doing audits in all of these other states, but do third-party audits, not having the government audit themselves, because that never works out.
Reverse speed round. Nick, you're first on this one. How concerned on a scale of 1 to 10 are you about the economy moving into next year related to the midterms?
5.
Really?
I'm always concerned, but I think we're going in the right direction.
Okay. I would express a little more concern on that. I hope we're moving in the right direction. Steve and I exchange messages on the economy a lot.
A lot.
Are some warning signs out there, I'm not going to deny. Look, I had Sean Spicer on 2 nights ago, and maybe it was yesterday. I'm losing track of time. But he was more than a little concerned about not only the, you know, look, historically, the midterms aren't going to favor the party in power. It's only happened
twice
in the last, 60, 70 years. It was 98 with Bill Clinton. It was 2002 with George W. Bush.
Democrats are going to take back the House. There's no doubt.
I don't know if there's no doubt, but that's fine. There's a better chance, maybe, just historically, that happens. But obviously, part of the goal here is to refocus on affordability. That's the Democrats'
Amen.
Word. And the economy. And the president did that in Pennsylvania. Now, this was a campaign style rambling type speech. I think, you know, I've mentioned this a few times this week. I think it's incredible that they're firing up a steel plant in Granite City with 400 new
Amen.
People. There are economic success stories happening everywhere. The debt, the credit card debt, the consumer debt, Steve, that's a big warning sign. There have been some jobs numbers that haven't been as strong. But look, you got Scott Bessent out there talking about maybe 4% growth in the fourth quarter. That's incredible if that happens. If that happens.
Now, 4% growth, you know, that would be almost historic, but let's
Huge.
Go with, if the original question, how concerned are you about the economy in the next year? I would say Nick's answer of a 5 is virtually the right answer every year. And if you rewound a tape from last year, 3 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, you say how many times people are saying it's going to be a depression or it's going to be the greatest economy ever. They're both wrong. It's about in the middle. This is the world's largest economy. It is hard to move it on a dime. Consumer spending has been strong. We're even seeing that at the state level. We were concerned, and we are still going to have concerns about state budgets, but sales tax collection, which is a good indicator of consumer confidence, mm-hmm. this has been a strong Christmas season. Those are all
positive.
One of the biggest
they are, except for the credit card
a big
issue.
But.
Because the issue is, yeah, people are still spending, but they're spending on the credit cards, and you got that at an all-time high when it was an all-time low 4 years ago. So that's a concern. Now, the Fed lowered rates. That's a good thing moving forward. Obviously, they may even cut it by another quarter as we head into the spring. So there are some things in the economy that I think are good. But my question was also on just on the midterms. You can judge the economy. That's going to play a big role in the elections. But look, Steve, if you were to listen to CNN, MS Now, whatever they call it, and all these other folks, even some of the people in conservative outlets, you'd think that the midterms have already been decided. It's all over.
Yeah.
You know, Democrats are going to have it by 30 seats or whatever.
Look, I think the one thing that's really going to decide the midterms, and I'm going to toss it out to our good friend, Missouri Freedom Caucus, former House Senate member, he's now in Congress, Eric Burleson. We've heard from Republicans for so many years since Obamacare, we got to repeal and replace. And then you have pundits saying, with what? They never had an answer. He at least has these MAHA plans that make sense. I've heard Republicans and Democrats saying, hey, send the money back to us, making it more affordable, letting us compete across state lines with insurance. I think if you can resolve that with something that makes sense to the normal people out there in America, then you're going to have a historic switch where the Dems won't take back the House.
In a nutshell, while the Dems are going to take it back in 2026 is because Trump is not on the ballot, number one. Number two, he is losing in popularity.
But more popular than how Obama and Bush and Clinton have all been at this point.
Popularity, we're already at real close to 50-50. So to swing 15 or 20 seats is going to make all the difference in the world.
Well,
I don't think it's going to be 30 or 40, but I think it's going to be 20.
We're a long way from that day in November. A lot can happen.
In November of 26, a lot can happen.
A lot of bad. We don't know what's going to happen.
A lot of good, a lot of bad.
That's right. State Rep. Steve Butz, great to see you. Thank you so much. State Senator Schor, who rarely makes an appearance because he's so busy. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Good to see you, Nick.
Hey, maybe next year you'll win the belt.
It's a goal. It is a stated personal goal.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.